Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are going to put such a fun spotlight on the Southwest for this show. And let me say, it is made possible due to the generous support of Discount Cab. We love Discount Cab at Mrs. Green's World. We appreciate their support, everything they do for the community and our planet, because their Prius taxi cabs are among the most fuel-efficient cars on the road today. And, by the way, they are locally owned. The company was started up in Phoenix. It has grown enormously. So shout out for the locally owned businesses, and they're doing great stuff. So if you're looking for a ride, don't call Uber. I said it on air. It's my show. Call Discount Cab and be supporting a locally owned business if you're in Arizona. Okay, now on with the show. As you can see, I am excited. The name of our Down to Earth show tonight is A Millennial's Recipe for Success. But I think it's more than one millennial. I mean, my friend is sitting here with me, and I'm thrilled to have him. But his name is Nate Aries. He is partner owner. You've got partners. You're part owner of two fabulous restaurants in Tucson, which I find hard. That's even coming out of my mouth because it's been less than 2 years. Prep and Pastry, and most recently, Commoner and Company. Nate, wow. And sincere congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Excited to be here. Thank you.
It's great to be here. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. So we finally nailed you down because it isn't easy to have one restaurant and then open another one in a little over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been busy? It's a little bit.
Okay. So I want to talk about Prep and Pastry. For those people that are listening in Tucson, it's on Campbell, right where Native Seat Search is. That's where I tell people. And you can't miss it. It's right on the main drag of Campbell. Is it Campbell and Glen?
Yeah, just a little north of that. Hendrick. We're set off, you know, Native Seeds is the for sure, like...
What you can see from the street.
From the street. We're set a little back, but for
people
sure we're
find
back.
It. Yeah. It's obviously not an obstacle of finding it. Because I want to say this, and I think it's really a true statement. I remember the day it opened. I remember what you did in... preparing a wedding for us as a favor the night before, and it has been successful and packed since the day it opened. Am I exaggerating?
No, not really, but you know, we're just lucky, and we're lucky this is what we've been shooting for, you know, our whole careers, you know, starting as back servers way back in the day for, you know, your good buddy, Regan Jasper, way, way back in the day. And
you're like the next generation. I have to tell everybody, this is not a TV show. We're talking about young men and women here. The under 35 crowd is really...
I'm getting up there, though.
You're getting up
it's
there.
Sad.
Oh, yeah. Don't talk to me about it, okay? So give us a little bit about the backstory of the creation of Prep and Pastry. Who are the creators? How did you make it come to fruition in such a wildly successful way? You know, you said we were just lucky, and I just will challenge you on that. Luck had very little to do with it. There's attention to every detail there from the day it opened.
I mean, it was just, you know, a group of my friends that we all worked in the industry for years together. We always talked, you know, out at bars. And one day we're going to do it. One day. So after, you know, starting a brunch program up at a former restaurant called The Abbey. Just one day during that brunch up there, I said, yeah, there's got to be a brunch house here and somewhere in town. My mentor, Brian Pracco, owner of Lindy's, Bashful Bandit, some other places, he's kind of my mentor in the office. Yeah, yes. He like directs me on all my accounting, my numbers. Kind of, you know, just came to me one day and said, hey, you know, there's this Amelia Gray's Tea House that's asking, you know, not for my help, but, you know, they need a little assistance with, you know, seeing if we could turn it around or whatnot. And the young lady that owned it, Annette Hartman, had this, gangbusters.
We just love her.
Yeah.
We both talked about her off air. She's one of the most amazing, generous human beings.
Yes,
she
is.
She's doing what she does well, catering.
Yes, catering. So, you know, long story short, helping her out, I kind of threw it out there. I said, this is a perfect brunch house. And back then, before he picked up 30 million other contracts, Billy Kovacs, a really popular marketing guy here in town.
Love Billy, too.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, he's got his hands in designing so many different things. I kind of went to him. I said, hey, this as a brunch spot, you know. So one night we stayed up all night trying to think of, you know, different names, Whisk and Ladle,
such a
Whim,
fun creative process.
Yeah, yeah. Nook, which is actually a breakfast spot downtown, which is also just as amazing. A bunch of different restaurant names, and he shot it out there, Prep and Pastry. And I said, wow.
You knew it.
Yeah. Looked it up. No one in the nation had it from what we saw. And we started from there. We said, all right, all the bread's going to be baked in house. Pastries to order every day. If we run out that day, we run out. We don't hold them for the next day like a lot of bakeries or pastry shops do. We just do everything in house. We just try to make it as, you know, kind of the word that a lot of people use is scratch kitchen, as much as possible. So, you know, if you're getting that French toast that you ordered today, it was baked no later than yesterday. I mean,
right,
it is,
right.
It's there. It's all proofed.
Don't bring
in-house,
that up because you didn't bring any with you.
I would have, but you know,
I know it doesn't carry well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, but, yeah, so we started running with it, made the deal with Annette Hartman, and, you know, pretty much from there on, from day one, you know, made sure everything was in place, you know, getting our XO coffee, getting just asking my buddies that were with me that were, you know, serving at other restaurants around the state or, you know, whatever, just built my team from there, said, hey, I don't know where this is going, but how about all of us, you know, try to see where it can go. You know, I'll throw a little shares here and there, you know, let's just build our team and see where we can go. So, you know, the rest is history.
I bet they're happy.
Yeah. I hope
bet
so.
They're really happy because it was just, I know the creative process of starting companies and it's so much fun. Even calling Mrs. Green's World, and you know, our mantra, our motto for our other show is we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. The day that was created, there was cheering. And it just, it comes about from lots of hard work and throwing ideas out there and fun partnerships, which is what you guys have.
Yeah.
Really, really clearly. And it seems to me that you do play to each other's strengths. I don't know. I know you and I know Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the young woman.
Oh, Corey.
Corey.
She's actually working in Vegas now.
She is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she, you know.
She helped.
Yeah. She helped. She controlled like the office, you know. I am the king, as you know, of being unorganized in the sense of like paperwork, or I don't want to do that stuff. So that was her strength. She organized us in the office, yelled at us, wasn't afraid to yell at us if our food cost was 3 points
you
too high.
You so need that peace.
I know, and you know, I love going out and buying the newest, coolest local thing, and she would have to knock me back down. All right.
Say,
you know.
Nate, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
We've just been open 6 months, which is a really great segue to the local piece.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have not been a non-locally owned restaurant. Even when we went to Taos this past week, we seek out locally owned restaurants. It's so easy to do on Yelp or TripAdvisor and find the locally owned places. Where are the locals going? What about local sourcing of food? I know it's a challenge, but I know philosophically you're there. How much of local sourcing can you do,
mm-hmm.
and what are some of the challenges? It's not that easy when you have to have the volume.
Yeah.
You can't run out of this or that.
Well, when we first started, it was everything. We were going to farmers markets and cutting deals with everyone. You know, we were every farmer's friend, you know, getting them in here, all that. And really, we weren't really using, you know, the quote unquote big boys, the trucks, U.S. Foods, the Sysco's, all that much. And then finally, we just, you know, the numbers started going up and, you know, unfortunately, some of the farmers couldn't keep up, which is a good problem, but a sad problem, you know, not a bad problem.
Yes, we're not there yet.
Yeah. And then also on the top of that, you know, you don't want to be us being a breakfast spot. We were always trying to cut deals with the farmers, just saying, hey, you know, after the farmers market, come to our back door, whatever you didn't sell, sell to us, because need it at a certain price point. You know, Augustine Kitchen, who uses a lot of the same farms as us back then, they would buy the, let's make something up, the head of lettuce for $10, and they sold it for, you know, 50. So it's okay. And we need it for, you know, we sell it for $10. So we need it for two, you know? We just said, if it's not going to work out, you're not going to probably get rid of it. Come to us. And then finally, once we started getting bigger and, you know, we just focused on what's the ingredient we use all the time. So we said, eggs. We want the best eggs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just one of, you know, like 10 example, you know, things that we have there that we really focused on. And, you know, our egg farmer, when we first went to them, had 200 chickens. And we said, all right, let's set the price of eggs to 25 cents.
Right.
So this is our food cost at all times with 25 cents. Now with the bird flu going on, and eggs are, you know, 30 cents, and we're still riding that 25 cent egg, you know, it's good. And we have these farm fresh eggs, but get back to the point, we helped them grow from 200 chickens, and this time next year, they're going to have over 2,000 chickens.
I mean, Nate, that's unbelievable. Do you mind telling us the name of the company?
It's Zamudio.
Zamudio.
Yeah, Zamudio. They're at the Heirlooms Farmers Market.
Yes. That's awesome.
They deliver, I mean, they're up to like 1,200 chickens right now with, you know, us. We would, you know, they're having a tough time delivering or holding or cleaning all the eggs. So we would, you know, we would cut them some checks or buy them some transportation units for all that stuff. So as they grew, we kind of threw them. So I'm not saying we did everything for them. They did it themselves. They're an awesome little family. But you know, we would, you know, the big crates to carry all the eggs in, we supplied, you know, and we just kept, as we got busier, they got busier. So then, you know, when we open our second prep and pastry next year, April.
Where?
Oh, on Grant and Tankerville.
Oh my gosh.
Right next to a Zinberger on that dirt lot.
Yes.
So they're going to actually just supply us only and Heirloom Farmers Market on Sunday, and that's it. There's no need to go farmers markets anymore. Let's just keep building this relationship. Let's grow. You know, if you guys still need some money to grow, get more coops, let us know. We'll cut you these checks, but let's just, we'll recoup our money by the cost of the egg staying this way. So that's the type of deals we've cut over the year.
And my heart is like, I'm doing cartwheels inside, because I've had this guy on recently, Michael Schumann, who's really famous for building local economies. And I was at the Bali conference, the Building Alliance for Local Living Economies in Phoenix. And I sat next to him, and, you know, I have my first book. He has his ninth book. He's saying, Gina, relax. Come on, Mrs. Green. You never signed on the cover. You're such a rookie. But what he did on the show, what his books do, is prove your story. Is that if you are building locally owned businesses, you're building assets for the community that just help everybody. Yep. The dollars stay here. The experience of what you just described is the epitome of what he's talking about. Let's do this together. And I'm not a big company basher. We need big companies, mm-hmm. especially in some areas, to move the big needle forward. But what we really need is to build local economies. And prep and pastry is such a part of that. And you just gave the perfect example. That makes me really excited.
We hope it continues, you know, knock on wood.
Nate, it will continue. I have no doubt about it. I can't believe it. And I remember saying to you, oh, don't open a second restaurant, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's such a risky business. And, you know, you were very polite and nice. And then you went down to the city to get those permits. And, I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And was it a year and a half, you had your second restaurant?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's kudos.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And prep and pastry, people that go there, I just can't stay enough. It makes my mouth water. And I want to go back to the bakery, because when you walk in there, almost everybody I know looks to see what's on the baked good shelves.
Yes.
We're like pre-fatting ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some really good fatting.
That's the reason why I'm 20 pounds heavier.
It's like, oh, my gosh. It's really good. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, you talked about Regan. Sam Fox is legend in the restaurant business. There are things that are similar. You have your own flavor. I don't feel like you're copying, but there is something about the greeting from the front door in. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your commitment to staff training, because there is a difference when you go into a place. People recognize you. If someone's not at the front counter, they say, "We'll be right with you." And it all flows with a really friendly, courteous, helpful attitude. How do you do that with the volume that you have and the growth?
You just, you know, one, stay humble. It's, you know, we're I always say, I say this every day, like my staff probably, if I never said this again, they would probably do backflips. I just say, you know.
They'd be really happy.
Yeah. You know, it's, we're the cool guys right now, but if we don't stay humble, then there's always someone better, someone always happier to be there, someone always friendlier to greet them. And quite honestly, when people are walking through that door, they don't want to know what happened in your world outside. You know, if I don't know.
Absolutely right. They just want a pleasurable dining experience.
They're coming in, you know, no matter hard times, good times, a restaurant's or a bar is always there. That's service hospitality industry. So let them know that, like, you're here to get away from whatever happened out there, hang out with us, you know, and, you know, vice versa. If we're having a bad day, I don't want them to see it. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And I preach that. I mean, that is like the one thing, you know, I can go to a restaurant that has semi-decent food, but if the staff is just so great, I'll go back, opposed to a place that had the best food in the world and just a mediocre service.
You are so spot on. Coming back from Taos, which I mentioned to you the other day, I'm on TripAdvisor, and we went to a restaurant, and it was fair food. The service was so great. The guy, the manager, our waiter, so I'm going to Yelp about it and just say that the food was good. It wasn't great. What made the experience great was the staff, because you forget, they're friendly, they were nice, they were bringing this and bringing that, and you want good food, but at Prep and Pastry, you can be sure you're going to get both. You're going to get really good food and friendly service, and there's always a wait, and they come out and remind you and say you're here on the list, and there isn't always a wait, but usually, unless you get there pretty early. And that's so great. I drive by and turn my head to make sure I see the wait, because I love it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the food creations, because people want to know this, how few people in the world run and operate restaurants, but everybody wants to know behind the scenes. How did you create the first menu? Where was the team there? And was it just hiring a dynamite chef? So how are the things that are decided, this is going on? How does it get decided?
You know, just many years of seeing what's worked, what hasn't, seeing the trends seeing the trends that are working right now. You know, there's a place called Snooze. It's a breakfast place out of Denver, Phoenix area, and I mean they're like the pioneers right now of like the trendy new breakfast. And you know, like,
so what's the trendy new breakfast? Do tell us all what is
for sure. You know, the. I hate using this word, but the scratch kitchen, you know, like,
I think that's great. I want to do a hashtag scratch kitchen. It sounds really good.
You know, it's just making sure that it's fresh. It's not, if you got those potatoes in, you know, today, cut them up today, serve them today. You know, like our prep guys there, our trucks come at like the morning of like service. The guys are there at like, say like 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. for service the next day, just to prep all our house cured bacon, our house cured and smoked bacon.
People really care about
that. Yeah, and it has to be fresh. It has to be fun. It has to be, you know, cutting edge, but not over the top weirdo. You know,
people want real food. It's almost like comfort food, but it's with a little bit of a flair.
Exactly,
it is. It's just a little bit of a touch. And speaking of potatoes, when I order potatoes, even in a local restaurant, and I see these pre-packaged, I know they just dumped them in the fryer. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're disgusting. Hard as rocks. I see somebody cut, fresh. Yeah.
No, they should be soaked in water and then blanched on a low heat, set out to air dry, and then re-hit at a high heat. So it's just nice, crispy, soft in the middle. I mean, there's just different techniques. So we just take, you know, playing off of our other restaurant's name, Common Cuisine, and we just do our own little touches to it, you know, a little dash of our hipster techniques, I guess you can call it.
And some of your cocktails are really hipster. And who isn't into that? Like, seriously, it's if you're going to Sunday brunch, I'm like, okay, this starts with your Bloody Marys could be a meal.
You know, that the cocktails just come over years and years of experience
of drinking. Cocktails, yeah. I'm liking them.
You know, many moons of living in Vegas helped out. Many nights of late nights working at North and all those. I mean, the Abbey, Jack's Kitchen, all those days, you know.
Those
you
days just get were, to and see. It's so nice that you mentioned them. And they're really, really good places. North, just great cocktails and hip. But the difference is, I have to get this in somehow, and it has to come out right. When you go to Prep and Pastry, it's not like you say, oh, my gosh, this is full millennials. I love that word, actually, and I love the millennials. I want them as followers of Mrs. Green's mm-hmm. world because we're so hip here. But you yes. get it. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
There's people with their baby carriages. There's grandmas with mm-hmm. the grandkids. There's businessmen and women. It is really a mixed clientele. So there is something for everybody, mm-hmm. not just hot hipster. Like, there are places in Tucson I don't want to go, and my daughters will invite me. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm 40 years over the oldest person there.
Yeah.
And that's fine for them. I don't care. But when you go to Prep and Pastry, there is a hodgepodge of every demographic, and you've got the crowd.
Yeah. And again, it starts with just how you treat everyone coming through the door. You know, my favorite spot in town, a breakfast spot, actually, I won't say the name, but, you know, when you walk in the door, I know it now, you know, I know them now. And it's just a big sign that says, you know, just says, seat yourself at a clean table. Like, come on, you know, like, you could have paid that extra $8 an hour to someone that needs a job to say, hey, how are y'all doing tonight? You know, just the whole experience, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're a sorority girl or a businessman from the North Side. We don't care. We're just
come
honored.
Come in and eat our delicious
yeah,
food.
We're honored that you stepped through the door and you chose out of Tucson. There's so many options. There's just so many. There's especially on Campbell Row, where it is pretty much breakfast row. We're right between two of the most popular breakfast spots in pretty much Arizona. And I mean, it's just, you have to remember that when everyone's walking through the door, you know, and it's very few times if I'm there, every single table's, I'm going to gab their ear off. I'm going to say hello, see how they're doing.
You work it. It's like Renee, our buddy from Renee's Organic Oven. It's a perfect example. I know you two are mm-hmm. buddies. I go. That's like my cheers to go and have wine at 4 o'clock.
That's my Thai curry pizza. I live off of that pizza and she knows it.
She'll be so happy that we gave her a shout out.
I actually have an order set for this Sunday I'm going to get the Thai curry pizza and the artichoke dip. I can't wait.
She's awesome. But it's the same thing. There's that friendly atmosphere. And I don't think it's something you can necessarily train. It's lead by example. I think that's really you're an owner occupied place where they know you're going to be in there. You're going to be bussing the tables, scanning constantly.
I think they like to call it micromanaging, but I let it go.
In restaurants, I think that's really essential because you can't let it go. I think my husband and I think it's the hardest business that there is.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Okay. So how do you decide when to take something off the menu? Have you at Prep and Pastry? Nothing I like has been taken off. So is it, do you like to switch it up once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
There some things that, I mean, I don't look for new things. I'm such, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I find something I love and
stick
I just
with
get it.
Oh,
or maybe I'll vary a little bit if something changes. But.
Yeah. You know, we play around with the lunch a lot. You know, we just changed our menu recently. We added a lot of menu items on because, you know, we expanded our kitchen so we could add some more on. And
such good news.
Yeah,
I mean,
which,
really?
Which is good, yes. But, you know, we play around with a lot of the sandwiches and stuff. Breakfast, we've learned. We've taken some stuff off. And, we actually changed the sweet potato hash, which is probably our most popular item there. And the uproar on that. I changed the menu within a week.
Right out of town.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you kidding me?
Yeah. And we changed certain things. We changed the settings because we do seasonal. We change it with the seasons.
Right, right.
You know, some items we've just learned to just keep. Just let them go. If asparagus is going up, well, guess what? we're losing money on that end right there.
That will make me sad.
Yeah.
Being the non-asparagus lover in me.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't notice if you put that on off, but most people love asparagus.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
It's just certain items stay, but then, you know, seasons, you know, our salads always change. Our lunch, we added on, you know, like a homemade pasta now, just because we have that pasta option for the weather. But you know, to decide what came off, we just kind of pulled up the product mix and say, what's moving and what's not. Oh, wow. You know, the banh mi, it didn't do anything. So let's take the banh mi off, you know?
Next.
So we have all this product in house that's not moving, and we keep catching ourselves making, you know, gazpachos or something. So it doesn't, you know, so we use the product.
Right. Right.
And it's just kind of like, it's time to
go. It's easier to just take it off. Yeah.
Yeah. So we play like that. But if we get something on the menu and it's just nonstop, then we try to just squeeze something else in if we can.
Yeah.
You know, so
people, I mean, it's just, I am just like Pavlov's dog. I get the same thing in restaurants where I go to. I'm like, oh, I want to try something else. But why, if it ain't broken, yeah, don't fix it. I'm getting the word. I'm moving around here a little bit. Okay. I think opening one successful restaurant is a huge challenge. And there are places closing in Tucson. There are. It makes me sad. I don't ever like to see a business close. Yours is booming. So then against my advice, for sure, I had no vote. I'm being funny, I hope, about whether you were going to open a second one. You decided to open a second one.
Yeah.
So what were the challenges there? First of all, dividing you.
Mm-hmm.
Having one successful restaurant that you want to keep going, and you're, you know, you're out there as the torchbearer and the upfront guy.
Yeah.
So what were some of the biggest challenges for opening that on another, you know, not close. There, one's really east side, one's very central.
You know, it's finding the team, giving them an incentive to come join you. You know, I went out and in my opinion, no offense to the big name chefs in town, or my good buddy Ryan Clark, who is actually, I think, is the best chef in Tucson. And, you know,
Norma,
there's a couple
Gentry will love you.
and there's some other ones out there, you know, that some of the other guys out there. But my favorite chef was Virginia Wooters, Chef Ginny. It drives me nuts that all these guys get recognition on, you know, Eater or whoever it is, New York Post, some articles, and she's never out there really, and it drives me nuts. And so I went out and asked her, said, hey, here it is. I'm just gonna lay it on the line. I'm not a back of the house guy. I'm burning through local chefs like it's going out of style. I'm taking some of the best names in Tucson, and they're just leaving me. And
I so appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
And so does everybody else in Mrs. Green's world.
Yeah. And you just kind of have to sit there and say, oh, what am I good at? All right. I'm good at closing deals, and I'm good at smoozing. And I'm good at kind of leading front of the house. And, you know, and this back of the house thing, it's not me. So, you know, I went out and I offered her, you know, a partnership into the company. I said, hey, I don't want to sit here. Yeah. I don't want to sit here and say, you know, you're a partner like you were like in these past companies. Let's get lawyers. Let's draw this paperwork up.
You're going to have skin in the game.
You're growing with me. And that's the same thing I did with, you know, my mentor, Brian Pracco. And he's the guy that kind of, he's always calming me down with, oh, I want to give this guy a partnership. Oh, I want to profit share with this guy, you know. And he's like, slow down. You're going to have nothing left. But I'm growing this team that, you know, if I leave, say I decide to move or I get hit by a bus. That's a good example. At least my company is still going to run the same way, no matter what.
Was that the 1 minute warning?
Uh-oh.
We are 1 minute out. I mean, I told you the time would fly. So we just have to say, Prep and Pastry, all you locals, all the people that listen to me from around the country. I have had people from Chicago go to Renee's Organic Oven. If you come to Tucson, let Mrs. Green know. Follow you on Facebook. It's Prep and Pastry. And it's Commoner and Company.
Yes.
Just be watching. This is great. And everybody, next week, we're doing Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge. Check it out at our website. October 17th, Maria Rodale from the Rodale Institute. Cannot wait to have her. And October 20th, Natalie Proudfoot, Habitat for Humanity's Habistore on Tuesday, the 20th. Nate, good luck. Love it.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Make it a great green week.